Well, I like that song, don't you? I like the theme of that song. And the main attraction of that song, Jesus. Oh, I have felt him here this week. And just ministering to me and to all of us. And I am so thankful for that. And the church said amen. Amen. Man, I want you to be turning to John's Gospel, the 15th chapter. I want to take the time to say thank you to Brother Ingram and Brother Ralston for this kind invitation. And I count it an honor to stand here before you tonight. I count it a privilege. I don't count myself worthy, but I do count it an honor to be among the holiness people. And I owe a great debt to many of you in embracing me as a young preacher that you didn't know. And I thank God to be a part of you. Amen. John's Gospel here tonight, the 15th chapter. And if you'll stand once again for the reading of the Word, I've just been so impressed, and I know it doesn't always happen this way, and it doesn't have to happen this way, but it's just been so noteworthy. I told Brother Ralston before service tonight how that the Lord has connected these messages, especially in the day service. I mean, one sermon announced the text of the next sermon. And divine fingerprints have been all over the preaching. Amen. And even Brother Holcomb last night. And I pray that the Lord will speak to us here again tonight. That's what we need, isn't it, folks? Lift your hands and ask God to help us as we look to His Word. Father, I thank You for the Word of the Lord. For these faithful vessels who have carried it for many, many, many years, I ask You for mercy tonight and an anointing to preach its truths. As You would have me to, get Yourself honor. Oh God, work on us and bring forth fruit in our life for the glory of God. Meet us in this altar, I pray, and we'll praise You for it. In the mighty name of Jesus, we ask. And the church said, amen. Amen. I am the true vine. And my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Clarifying statement there. You're clean. But even though you're clean, at times we need a purging that we may bring forth more fruit. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Verse 16, and I'll conclude the reading tonight. Verse number 16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you. You should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. God bless you. Thank you for standing for the reading of the Word of God here tonight. Many of us in this building here tonight have had our hearts broken and our souls shaken at some point because we watched some fruitful branch taken away. Sometimes if we observed it at a distance, it appeared to be just suddenly. Of course, there were those times where we may have been a little closer and we watched the branch become removed, and then it withered. And as this metaphor from Jesus teaches us here tonight, they seem to be gathered together. And it's as if they're in bundles. And this teaching of Jesus predicts an awful fate for them in the future that have been cut off and have withered. Something more awful than even the withering they've already suffered. I didn't want to say those things. But early this morning, as I meditated on the text that I've been contemplating for some time, that's what I felt God wanted me to say as I began tonight. Now, that's only half the story. That's a part of it. And it's a negative part of it. And we do not tell the truth if we don't tell the negative truth as well as the positive truths. There's a lot of good in thou shalt not. Can the church say amen? And it's here. And I can't overlook it. But we've gathered here this week like we do every January, and we've celebrated and honored Charles Barnett. We've honored Brother Neil Bridges. And there's been a host of ministries through the years. Don't you appreciate Brother Ingram and Brother Ralston, not only in their labor and their effort in this meeting, but in the vision and the foresight to take time and pause and honor ministries like we have here tonight? It's a good thing, folks. Give honor to whom honor is due. And it's a great thing, and we've done that tonight. If you'll permit me, I don't want to take too long here, but if you'll permit me for just a moment here, are there any other ministries among us here that have been in the ministry for 50 years or above? I loved it when Brother Bridges said everybody 50 and under. I barely squeaked into that group and got to stand. But is there anybody here tonight, maybe you've been in the ministry for 50 years or above? Would you please stand for just a moment here with me tonight? Been in the ministry for 50 years and above. My. Now if you'll just please remain standing for just a minute. I won't take long. My, what fruit in 50 years. That's all right, isn't it? Now if you'll just stay standing here. How about 40 years and above? Would you join them? 40 years and above. You've been in the ministry for 40 years and above. Would you join these, amen, that have already stood here tonight? Amen. 40 years and above. Amen. What kind of fruit in 40 years? How about 30 years and above? Wow. Look around, folks. I don't want to take too long here, but let me take just a moment here, if you would, tonight. What kind of fruit? What kind of fruit has been produced, amen, in 30 years, 40 years, 50 years through these branches? How about 20 years in the ministry? 20 years preaching this gospel for 20 years. Oh, hallelujah. Oh my. How about 10 years here tonight? Amen. 10 years you've been preaching the gospel and in the ministry. Have you noticed a difference in 10 years of preaching? Amen. I thank God. Listen, let me tell you, there is some negatives. Amen. But we have been blessed here tonight because God has put among us an abiding ministry. I want you to lift your hands and ask God to help me here tonight. I want to preach to you about an abiding ministry. Oh, Father. Father, I thank you tonight for what you've done among us. Oh, hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for doing that with me here. And I want to take a little time to preach to you here tonight. But I believe that the Lord has put it on my heart to talk to you here tonight about an abiding ministry. Now, I want to take a little time here. And Brother Gallagher talked a little bit about some of this morning. But I had it on my heart. And I want to first take a moment to draw a line of distinction between what I call a sudden manifestation of the Spirit and the constant abiding of His presence. I want to take a moment to draw a line of distinction, but when I draw that line of distinction, I want to make it very clear that those two things must be forever married together. Oh, hallelujah. This manifestation of the Spirit, that quick and powerful force that seems to rush to a present need, that is the source of the gifts of the Spirit that we heard so much about this morning. Wasn't that wonderful? And that's what 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7 teaches us. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. And those gifts of the Holy Ghost, which go beyond just those utterance gifts of tongues and interpretation, into what we heard here today as a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge. How many times have we sat in a service and the preacher began to preach and we walked away from the service that night and we marveled saying, he didn't know. They didn't know. But God was speaking. Can I get a witness? That's a word of knowledge. There were times even in the early church when it looked like the church in the book of Acts was about to split wide open. Acts chapter 6, when that murmuring came because of the widows that seemed to be neglected. Acts chapter 15, when that question arose about the Gentile converts and circumcision and the law of Moses. And on both occasions, God spoke through some men of God. And there was a wise word that prevented a great fracture that could have cost a lot of souls. I thank God for those manifestations of the Spirit. I believe that even faith, which is mentioned in a lot of different ways, it's a fruit of the Spirit. The gospel is called the faith, but it is also a gift of the Spirit. I think sometimes the Holy Ghost will rise up in us and give us a gift of faith that we do not work up in our own and of our own heart. It is a gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, thank God for those dynamic moments when the Holy Ghost manifests himself, makes himself clearly seen, invisible beyond the shadow of a doubt. But then there's that quiet, persistent, fruitful, faithful flow of the Spirit that's not always so demonstrative, but it's there. I wish I could preach better to you here tonight. It's there. It's there. That's the source of the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. I appreciate the gifts, but when we've got the gifts without the fruit, we're out of balance. I appreciate the emphasis on the Word of God. That's a wonderful thing to emphasize, amen, in a preacher's conference, amen. But when we've got the Word of God and the gifts of the Spirit, if we have them without that growing character of the fruit of the Spirit, we're out of balance. We need an abiding ministry. We need this thing that flows from day to day. I went with one of the brothers in my church the other day, Brother Tim Hignight. He's got some property there close to where we're building a house there in McKee, Kentucky. And he took me out on his ATV, and he said, I'm going to take you over here. This isn't on my property, but I know this fella real well. And a beautiful waterfall. And I got out of that little Ranger four-wheeler ATV, and I took my phone out and I snapped some pictures and I sent some of them to my wife, and she said that was beautiful. Watch that, you know, creek. It was crashing over those rocks and falling down. It's a beautiful picture here. And I looked at that and I stopped after a while and walked up about 20 feet away from where the water was falling over the rocks, and you could look down the precipice there and over into a little hollow. It looked like the mouth of a cave, but I don't think it was, but it's a beautiful vantage point. And I walked about 20 feet upstream from there, and the water was placid. You could hardly tell it was moving. There was a piece of like table rock, slate rock underneath it. There were no minnows this time of year or any water bugs on the surface of the water. It was like glass. And I looked there and it barely seemed like it was moving at all. In fact, it didn't look like it was moving at all. But 20 feet away from there was the splash and the crash and the force of that creek and all of the runoff water from those hills of Jackson County, from all that rain we've had over the past several weeks. And I drew a parallel there in my mind. You can see the demonstration of the splash and the power here, but there's power right here, and this right here is what's feeding this right here. It doesn't look like a lot's going on over here 20 feet away, but if you didn't have this constant continual flow that's coming in that direction, you'd never have this splash and crash of beauty and refreshment. That's what I'm trying to preach about here tonight. We need a flow of God's life in our life. Something that abides. Something that abides. Holy Ghost is compared to a lot of things. The moving of a river, the blowing of the wind, the brooding of a dove, anointing oil, a burning fire, and on the illustrations go. And it takes that many because he's such a vast person. He is a person. Oh, hallelujah. But see, we understand something when we hear the word Father. We understand something when we hear the word Son. And even more than that, he came in the flesh, and we got a better understanding of him. But when you get in that realm of pure spirit, that's a realm that it's hard for us to comprehend. And there's all of these symbols and illustration that talk about his character and talk about his workings. And they are so many, and it's difficult to describe him with just one because they emphasize perhaps one aspect of him and what he does. But in this chapter, we have the allegory of a vine. And through this vine, the flow, unseen, but real, is the flow of divine life. Oh God. I want to say this to us here tonight. We need to be sure we're planted of the Lord. And wherever he plants us, We need to stay there and grow there and flow there. Oh, hallelujah. And the church said amen. I just resigned to church. I'd pastored for a little over 9 years. I thought I would be there for the rest of my life. I bought a home with a 30-year mortgage, invested money in remodeling it. I thought I'd spend the rest of my life there until God called me to leave there and go back to Bond, Kentucky, close to the roots where I grew up. And I expect to spend the rest of my life there. But wherever I am, I want to be planted in Him. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I wish I could preach to you here tonight. Amen. You see, the Father planted this vine. Jesus said, I'm the vine. My Father is the husbandman. I get the idea that He's talking about the work of the incarnation where the Father planted Him in this earth in a very unique and wonderful way, in that moment where God was manifest in the flesh. Oh, hallelujah. I'm the vine, He said. My Father is the husband. The Father planted the vine where He wanted to. He maintains the branches, amen, where the vine puts them forth. There's a wonderful, wonderful picture here. There's a Father who plants a beautiful vine. There's a vine that grows and flourishes and has always been full of life. That vine is Jesus Christ. That vine will never die. Can I hear an amen? He said, I am the resurrection and the life. I know He died in the flesh. Hallelujah. But He said, I'll raise myself back up again. And He did. He is the life. And then there's the picture of the allegory of divine life flowing through Him. Now we understand the triune God and a Father whose shape we've never seen and a Spirit that we can't understand. But in Jesus we see this beautiful picture of the marriage of something divine inside of the heart of something human. And we get in the picture. You're the branches. Ooh, God's opened up a branch ministry where you're at. He wants to flow through you and grow through you and heal through you and feed through you. Oh, come on, say amen. And warn through you. Oh, God. Oh, God, I'm not necessarily stay in the town. I just changed towns. I'm not saying stay. I was an evangelist for 14 years. And there was a time when God took me out of the ministry of evangelizing and put me in the ministry of pastoring. I never thought I'd evangelize. And He put me in that ministry, Brother Shoecraft. And when He did, I felt Him speak to me. And there were times when I got tired. And there were times, and I don't mean to be misunderstood here tonight. There were times when opportunities arose for me to do something besides evangelize. And I must admit, there were times that my fatigue wanted to catch my breath. And I wanted to get a change of pace, but my philosophy, Brother Ingram, was He called me to evangelize, and until He tells me to do something else, I'm not looking to do anything else but abide where this little branch the Lord has let me by His mercy and grace be connected to this wonderful eternal vine. Amen. The best thing I can do is just stay right here where God has put me in Him. I think sometimes if we're not careful, we get to looking at our surroundings and we will blame our surroundings. And if we're not careful, preachers, we'll blame the closest companion.
opinion we have. We may blame some of the people in the churches that we pastor, or some of the people in the churches where we preach revivals. But I'm going to tell you what my Bible tells me in Isaiah chapter 53, that Jesus was like a root in a dry ground. He didn't get anything from the ground around him, but he flourished and he became a vine, and you can get some fruit from that vine. And I'm here to tell us tonight, it's not our surroundings that we minister from, but it's that divine life that comes from the vine. Oh, lift your hands and say, God, help me. We need an abiding flow. Oh, God. Comes from the Father. Comes through the Son. Comes by the Spirit. What a privilege we have to be connected to such noble company. Oh, hallelujah. Divine power comes from divine life. Jesus said it. I didn't say it. Jesus did. He said, greater works than this shall you do, because I go to my Father. How can you get greater than raising Lazarus from the dead? How can you get greater than walking on the water? How can you get greater than feeding a multitude with 5 loaves and 2 fishes? It'll never be greater in quality. What about quantity, preacher? The scripture said if everything he did was written down, the books could not contain, amen, or the world could not contain the books where they would be written. Oh, how could it be? How can it be greater? Well, when he was here and divine life was being manifest in the flesh, he walked the seashores of Galilee and he worked miracles. He walked in Judea and he worked miracles. He went in the synagogue and he spoke the word of God. Can I get a witness? But he said, I'm going away. And if I don't go away, the Holy Ghost will not come. I have been planted. I am the vine. I'm firmly rooted in this world. But now you're going to branch out of me and you're going to go in all directions. You're going to go into all the world. And he's ministering in Virginia and in Kentucky and in Tennessee and in Georgia and in Arkansas and in Missouri. Amen. Sometimes all in one night. It's all going on at the same time, because we're branches of a mighty vine. I know you've done it. I know you've got on the phone after great service and called somebody 500 miles away, and they had one too. And somebody 200 miles away had one too. And somebody on the other side had one too, uptown. Hallelujah. You know why? Because we're all branches in a mighty vine. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I remember when I first went up into Indiana evangelizing. Eventually married Sister Kim. My mom went up there. One of the first revivals I preached up there for Brother Burdine. He was from Somerset, Kentucky, too. And I was about 27 years old. And my mom went up there to that revival. First thing she said when she shook Brother Burdine's hand was, see if you can get him a wife while he's up here. Well, he
did. He did a good job too. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. I remember I'd go up there and they'd sing those old songs. A lot of them up there. Out of the hills of Kentucky where I'm at right now. And I remember Brother Burdine, you all would sing that song. And it wasn't about a vine, but the idea is the same thing. Just a little branch on a mighty tree. Oh, that's what I want to be. Can I hear an amen tonight? By the purpose of the Father, by the purchase of the Son, and by the power of the Spirit, His work will be done. I can do nothing of myself. You can do nothing of yourself. Oh, hallelujah. Without me, we can do nothing is what Jesus said. But then Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I'm just a branch, hallelujah. But divine life is flowing in my heart and through this ministry that God has given me. And all things are possible to him that believeth. Well, I'm not just talking about that rush of the river, but that quiet, constant, almost invisible flow. Could Jesus sin? Somebody smarter than me can figure that out. Somebody who's divine. I don't understand it. He's a man. A man has a free will. But he's God. And God can't even be tempted. I think there's some things about our Lord that nobody can understand. This I know. He didn't. He, Brother J.R. Alexander, is able to keep me from falling. Oh, hallelujah. He was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. I cannot. I'm here to serve notice today. I don't think anybody doubted it, but I cannot live above sin in my own self. I tried it and I failed. But when Jesus got inside of me, when divine life got inside of me, I've got a treasure in an earthen vessel, and he conquered sin, and he conquered temptation, and he conquered death, and he conquered hell, and he conquered the grave, and he made me more than a conqueror through my Lord Jesus Christ. I can't, but he can. And if he could do it in a first century Jew, he can do it in me and you. Somebody throw your hand up and say, Jesus, live in me. Brother Clay, I gave up gardening. I couldn't get tomato vines to grow. I tried. I plowed a little 4x4 spot behind my house in Tip City, Ohio. And I got some good vines and some decent looking tomatoes and killed a bunch of groundhogs. Give me your cell phone number. I'll send you my favorite picture that I celebrate Groundhog Day with. Gave up. Amen. And now I ain't gonna grow no tomatoes in Kentucky. Jeff Scaff and Clay Brewer was talking about all they're gonna grow in their gardens, and I sitting in between them, and I said, I ain't growing nothing. I'm gonna let you guys pay tithes on what you get, and I'm gonna enjoy it. Does that sound like a good plan? I'm not a good husbandman, but my Father is. He planted a vine that they could not kill.
He planted a vine that they could not kill. Oh, hallelujah. And he's still living today. They crucified him. They put him in a tomb. And 3 days later, he got up and put the punctuation mark on what he said at Lazarus' grave. I am the resurrection and the life. And one of these days, he'll raise up all of the dead in Christ. And we that are alive and remain are going to meet them in the air. But until then, I'm going to live divine, holy living by the power of Jesus Christ. Now, I have been cut on. Whenever I started branching out in an area that would produce my own fruit, he pruned me.
Come on, preacher. Preach on, brother.
Yeah. If I'm going to be part of this vine, I'm going to get cut on some more. But I'll take being cut on over being cut off. There's that invisible flow of life, divine life. It comes from him in his ministry. He showed us how to connect the human to the divine. By the power of the Holy Ghost, we can walk in the Spirit. I got to preach quickly. Abiding fruit. And we've heard about the gifts. I felt the Lord impress my heart. And thank you. Folks have told us that they pray for us in the Holiness Messenger. And that touches my heart. It really does. And I wrote some articles and asked some of you to contribute to those articles about the gifts. But oh, the fruit. We should covet the gifts and constantly display the fruit. The gifts come as a manifestation of His Spirit, but the fruit comes as we abide in His presence. It is a sweet product of that continued flow of divine life and divine connection into us. And I'm afraid that we're often more amazed by that moment of a manifested rush of God's Spirit to meet an urgent need. And we fail to observe sometimes and value the sweetness of that gentle fruit that comes from a life that is constantly, constantly in His presence. Oh, the power of that constant divine flow that produces a fruit called love. So much love that you can not only love your wife and love your neighbor and love your children, but you can love your enemies. And pray for them that despitefully use you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. For so persecuted they the prophets which went before you. Hey, that's how we live when we're connected to the vine.
Amen. Help me, Lord.
Even Samson can get in the flow and do something mighty for the moment.
Right.
Oh, it was wonderful in Israel that the Lord moved him at times. It was tragic for Samson that it only moved him at times. He would come on men in the Old Testament in wonderful ways, but in the New Testament, we have that unique experience, and that new word describes it. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And Jesus clarified it even more on that great day of the feast. He's not just going to put you in the river, but he's going to put the river in you, and out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Amen. Not just the bursting of a dam and pent up energy. No. But the constant moving of rivers. Yeah, Samson can have a flashing success and go from a moment of flash to a major fiasco. Oh, God, help me to preach. It takes a foundation to produce fruit. It takes a root to produce fruit. You must abide in the vine. Fruitful branches are connected to the vine and they produce fruit over and over and over and over and over and over, season after season after season after season. The life will flow and the fruit will grow. Is that God's power? When they've lied on you and you don't retaliate, but you really pray for them. And when the opportunity comes for you to retaliate, and you could do it under the cloak of being just, you still don't retaliate. You love. And you put it into the hands of a God who is merciful. And he exhausts every avenue of mercy. Can I hear an amen? Oh, he's just. Don't forget that he's just. And don't think that he's not just. But he's a merciful God. Oh, aren't we glad for the love of God? What if God was as vindictive as we were sometimes? Where would we be if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side? And he was on our side when we weren't on his side. I wish I could preach to you here tonight. The love of God. The joy of the Lord, the peace that passeth understanding. I've had it when there was no earthly way I should have had any kind of peace. It was beyond my understanding, but I went to his presence and I tarried in his presence and I tried to live in his presence and I walked out of his presence while the storm raged, but the peace of God grew.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Preaching, Lord.
Long suffering, we don't like to put those two words together. We don't even like the word suffering at all, especially when it's connected to the word long. Gentleness. Some of us are more gentle by nature. But if you got enough fire to preach, you got enough feathers to ruffle. You can burn the whole farm if you want to. You're going to be hungry come next Sunday. I wish I could preach better to us tonight. Meekness, faith, temperance. I've preached too long. Real quickly, there's an abiding foe. We know the devil's a foe. We know the world is a foe. But Solomon said, take us the foxes. Little foxes. I read about a man in Greenville, South Carolina. There was a border fence between him and his neighbor. The fence wasn't a strong barrier, but planted at every other post was a beautiful ivy vine. And it grew up those posts and trellised across the runners. And it was not only a beautiful thing to look at, it was a beautiful privacy barrier that both sides could look at and enjoy. And he said one day their little puppy got to burrowing under the fence, and they got him and put him back where he was supposed to go. But he and his wife looked out a couple of days later and noticed that a whole section of that beautiful ivy vine had withered and turned brown. And of course, they realized what had happened and promptly went to the neighbor and apologized, and he was gracious and forgave them. But the flourishing vine was gone. It would take years to get it back to the place it was.
All right, all right.
I wish I could preach to you here tonight. I think the flesh is our foe. Just a little leaven. Just a little folly. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor, and so doth a little folly. Him that's in reputation for wisdom and honor. Just that little indiscretion. To whom much is given. Come on, Sister Lloyd. Just a little love. Look at Ephesus' report card. But I have somewhat against you. Because your love is not up there where everything else is. All your achievements are up here, but your love is down here. How many times did Jesus look at those who were so close to him and say, "Oh, ye of little faith"? And God forbid that little tongue. How is it that we who are so privileged and placed in such a position can with that tongue bless God? Stand with me. Across the 30-year mark. I don't know how long the Lord's going to tarry. Brother Pittman told me before church, 61 years. I thank God for every preacher that's here, Brother Ingram.
Right.
Even if you're just preaching for 6 weeks.
Yeah, right.
I thank God you're here. We have an abiding ministry. Look around. Oh, the fruit. We just heard the fruit of one ministry, two ministries this week. Just two. Look at the branches that are here. I want to abide, Brother Gentry. I wish I could have done better for you tonight. Put a hand up towards heaven and say, "God, help me. Bind."
My Yay, for I came to give you life, and that more abundantly. Are you withered? Are you weary in well doing? Grow deeper in me. Abide in my presence. I'm calling you into my presence more often. Abide in me, and I will abide in you, saith the Lord.
Oh, that's a beautiful picture. Amen. We can do so much, Brother Ralston, to abide in him. But the return we get is so much greater than what we give him. We give him us, but he gives us him. I want more of him. How about you? Oh, would you come tonight? Hallelujah. Everybody that would, let's make our way up to this altar.
I can't make it, Lord.